welcome to the Not Watching Podcast. My name's Rob Howard, and today I'm joined by...
Marcus Hurley.
Okay, so, yeah, we're well into 2023, and there's been quite a few developments. Probably the biggest one right now, though, is...
I'm trying to think what year it was it happened before. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, I don't know whether to do it in order. I just think the writer's strike is, like, the biggest thing at the moment.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
And it's kind of like, because it's kind of converging with all this, because they're sort of complaining that because the TV shows now aren't as long as they used to be, you know, now your Supernaturals of this world and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, 26-episode season is now a thing of the past.
Yeah, that's like the exception rather than the rule these days. So I think the whole idea was that, you know, you'd have writers that would be quite happy, you know, they'd cash their... You know, they'd have enough going on in a 22-episode series. That's like probably 18 months or like probably three quarters of the year. And then they'd have the rest off as holiday.
Yeah.
You know that would do them for the year. But so obviously they've been setting up these temporary writer's rooms that don't give them any like of the back end and just for these shorter series. And so they're having to do a lot more contracting and stuff. And so there's that. And at the same time, they're getting all fucking worried about AI.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, people might be, the studios might just go, well, fuck you then. We'll just get the computer to do it.
Ironically, with an AI algorithm, it will sound like, it will kind of read probably like an original script that then got heavily studio influenced and fucked with. So yeah. It will give them the, it will be like, you know, you watch some films and you think, the script on this is fucking horrendous.
Yeah.
Who wrote this? And now we'll go, oh, a computer wrote it.
Yeah.
So the phrase won't be like 100 chimps with 100 typewriters. It'll be like 100 bots with 100 algorithms making spear shake.
Yeah. There'd be like a dial where they just turn up the studio interference.
Yeah.
Dilute. It's like, oh no, but we need this to go over 5 seasons. Reduce plot.
It'll say committee level maximum.
Because they almost do that. It's like I'm watching Yellow Jackets at the moment, and I can so tell, like, oh my god, they want this to go for like 7 seasons, don't they? So it's like, that's what I'm trying to say.
I'm so glad you've said that, because yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Minimal plot development. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, that's right, strike. So yeah, the last time this happened,
I think 2007, it was like, 2008.
Yeah, and it was like 100 days it went on for, and we ended up with season 2 of Heroes getting cut short and generally just sending that show massively off course.
Yep. They should have renamed it Save the Writers, Save the Show. Just like...
Yeah, and the other gem we got was Quantum of Solace. They're the ones that are... stick out in my mind.
Is that why that was so bad?
Yeah, they had no script. So, yeah, this is how it goes. So, unless the AI saves us, start stockpiling that telly like a squirrel, because there'll be rough waters ahead.
Well, I've got all of Better Call Saul to watch, so
yeah,
I've been saving that.
That will see you. That good old Saul Goodman will see you through.
Yeah. And I've not watched The Wire yet, so yeah. I'll go back and watch some retro series that I've been parked. So I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I've squirreled those away for the winter.
Well, I'm sure by the end of this episode or the next one, if I drag it out into two, like a good studio should, you'll have all the ammunition you need. Oh, well. Okay.
We're not cynical at all, no, because of all the things we watched.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I would honestly quite like a break from it. Anyway, speaking of content, the other big thing, and this all happened in back in January, but we haven't recorded since. So, there's all the developments on at DC, Warner Brothers.
DCEU. Ironically, they should have called it DCEU 52, because they've done what they did with the comics and basically just rebooting the universe, aren't they? Again.
Yeah, what was the 52?
It was basically the DC Universe rebooted. They just called it. What was all the comics. They just retconned everything. Started it all from zero.
So what was there 52 different lines that they had?
I have no idea. Maybe it was like a Heinz ketchup joke or something. I don't
52, yeah.
But it was, I don't know what it was. But the thing is, they had to then reboot it again because it didn't work. And I'm thinking, well, have they learned nothing?
Yeah. Anyway, so sadly, well, James Gunn's just wrapped up his tenure over the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, so his next thing is he's back over at DC after doing a pretty good job with Suicide Squad and the spin-off show Peacemaker. And that's basically what he's doing. He's continuing that continuity, isn't he? But introducing all the big names into it. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
So, and the thing that they've said about this is that it's going to be consistent. I mean, this is so ambitious, but they've said it's going to be consistent over, like, all media, like, even video games. So, you know, it's going to be making all of these different additions relevant. But, I mean, I wonder, like, because the idea being that whoever, because like what they've been doing with the recent Star Wars stuff, the idea being that whoever's playing a character in like a movie would also voice that character across all other media.
Yeah. You are that character kind of thing. Yeah. Which kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
For continuity.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So the first film is that it looks like is happening is a new Superman. They're rebooting that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Henry Cavill.
Yeah. Well, I was off the back of the news where he got the call that he was going to be Superman again, then he got the call that he's not, and he's like, well, I'm gonna go and make Warhammer instead.
Yeah, well, I mean, good luck with that. I've not heard a thing about that. I mean, it could happen. The geeks do rule the world now, but
well, he's back in it. He's got nothing else on the plate, so
come back to Witcher. But anyway, yeah, so that's so James Gunn is writing that, and apparently they're casting Superman now. I think Nicholas Holt might have been in the running. You know, he was Beast. And,
Wow, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got the face for it, I think. He'll have to go down the gym a bit, though, I reckon.
Unless they do the bodysuit thing.
Yeah.
So that they get that disparity when he's Clark Kent and somehow he's going to be bigger when he's Superman, which is going to be weird if they do something weird like that, but...
Yeah. I don't know, but it's Clark Kent that is the disguise, isn't it, when it comes to Superman? So
yeah, but I mean, there's some really clever ways to do it. Like I think that's why I always held the Christopher Reeve films in, because when he was Clark, he hunched and pulled his body inwards as much as he could, so he made himself seem physically smaller and weirder. Because there's a bit perfect bit where he's going to tell Lois that he's Superman, and he takes off his glasses and he kind of stands upright, and his stature is the Superman stature, and you see him visibly get a bit taller as well as he does it. Yeah, and I just think it's such a good way he does it, because he's a tall guy anyway, Christopher Reeve, but he manages to make himself hunched down and sort of like, you know, all that sort of like, yeah, I'm a bit of a nerd, I'm a bit clumsy, klutzy, this, that. Yeah, I just think it's good ways of doing it, so who knows, maybe they'll do something like that, I hope.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, yeah, that's going to be like in the news right now. It's they say July the 11th, 2025, so that'll come around quicker than you know it, and because I can imagine if that's the release date, they'll want to have that in production, I would say, by the end of the year. Definitely. Okay. So, yeah, the other things are The Authority, which is something to do with Wildstorm. I don't know. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't really. Wildstorm, isn't that a comic series or something like that? That was one of the Vertigo, sort of like Gen 13 or whatever it was, that sort of era. To kind of like DC, I don't know, I don't really know much about it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't know that. Brave and the Bold, I've heard of. That's Batman and Robin. But I think it's a different Robin, isn't it?
There's too many.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track of now.
But that's how they're going to be introducing that. I mean, that's probably a storied enough line of Batman, which is cool, you know, to mix things up a bit. Based on the Grant Morrison comic series. So that's a very specific take on Batman.
Okay, it would be the Damian Wayne Batman. Robin, I mean, not Batman.
Oh, right, cool, I know nothing about that.
It's the Ra's al Ghul sort of like bloodline one, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think it's, I can't remember what her name is, his daughter, and Bruce Wayne, I think it's their son.
Oh. So that character was in the Christopher Nolan stuff.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Talia al Ghul.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's a different universe then. Yeah. Interesting, though. Interesting to see where they go with that.
Oh, no. I'm wrong. I'm completely wrong on that.
Oh.
Brave and the Bold one. He's son of Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle.
Oh, okay.
That's weird. Yeah, anyway, I don't know. It just shows how much I'm out of DC stuff now, I guess.
Well, aren't we all? That's why I'm asking you. there's another Supergirl movie coming out. I don't know whether that's got anything to do with the Supergirl that's in The Flash.
I reckon it might be. It might be. Yeah. They're trying something new, and then they're going to push that.
Yeah,
because they're pushing a bold new look, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's all like multiverse and stuff. So she could she could be from this universe that they're setting up, maybe.
Yeah.
Which could be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that film has, the Flash has been like basically disemboweled and like scavenged for all it can be. You know, I don't think Michael Keaton was originally a part of that movie.
That's what I mean. It's they had to put him in because there's no way they were going to get that across the line with Ezra Miller doing all the shit they did. So they basically, the studios went, how much money do we have at the back? How much money have we created from all the DC stuff? We'll pay Michael Keaton to reprise his Batman role and we'll just give him all of the money and say, please, just do this one film. We'll give you all of the money. You probably never have to work again.
Exactly. I think it sounds like they've done open heart surgery on that thing. And I'm very intrigued to see how it turns out. But the early buzz is that it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm hearing that it's really good, but which is annoying because I kind of didn't really want to see it, but...
Yeah, because of who's involved,
Yeah, because I just think he's a mug, and it's like the studios have kind of just almost... It's almost like watching an O.J. Simpson movie after the trial.
Yeah. it does feel a bit dirty.
Yeah.
But then you have to think he's only one of many people involved.
Exactly.
Thousands of people involved in that film, and... That's kind of how I rationalise it sometimes.
If they publicly say that they've withheld his fee and they're giving his fee to a charity or something like that because he can't say shit because he has no public credibility anymore, then, you know, I reckon that will go a long way to damage control. But then I think as DC and Warner Brothers, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I think
it'll be good to like just close the book on that whole debacle, all of that DC line of films, and maybe usher in the new, and hopefully we can go into this new superhero universe with a bit of hope, I think.
Yeah, I kind of feel as though they've done so many of them though, they need to do something different. So I was jokingly said to Suze that with James Gunn now sort of co-running DC essentially, the film division. Warner Brothers as well, isn't he? He's got a seat at the high table, basically.
Yeah.
Does this mean we're going to get a sequel to Brightburn?
I'm hoping
that would star Henry Cavill.
That'd be hilarious. I think that'd give me something to do.
Fucking epic, though. A completely evil Superman, like not linked to anything else. Just let him cut loose and do whatever he wants. And it's
like a time jump.
Yeah, you know, he's grown up, they've been fighting him for ages, and it's just, you know, you could go wherever you want, end it however you want. He could end up destroying the world. It doesn't matter because it's a nightmare scenario. The first one was a nightmare scenario. And it's almost like the What If comics. You can get away with anything because it's not canon to anything. I think that'd be brilliant. That'd be quite fun. But I don't think he'd did it.
Yeah, we'll see how far.
What if Nicolas Cage would?
Oh, yeah, in a heartbeat, I'm sure. the one other film they're doing is a Swamp Thing, which will be interesting after that TV series kind of.
They keep cancelling it, don't they? Like,
well, I didn't. Did you ever see any of it?
I watched it. I watched all of it. I kind of enjoyed it. It was all right. It started losing a bit of the plot, but I think that might have been when they weren't sure if it was going to get renewed. You know, once you start to get wind of it, you don't start winding up your plots. If you know you've only got one season, you kind of make it a bit tighter. And the first half was tighter, and then it kind of gets a little bit procedurally, and then it kind of goes to be a bit more open and a bit more kind of leading into we're going to get a second series. And it didn't. Ended.
I don't even think it fully aired in the end.
I don't know. I think it literally got stopped.
Yeah, I think they just...
Quite a few show episodes of it, and then that was it.
Yeah, because
that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was 2019. But it says, it does say episode 10 is out, looks like it is available. So, even the names of those episodes are like from the original comic. Yeah, I need to, I'd like to check this out at some stage. Yeah,
it's worth a watch.
Yeah,
plus,
I mean,
you
it's
know
highly...
it's not going anywhere now, so it's like, well, it's 10 episodes, regardless or whatever. It's like checking out Constantine, which is a shame as well. That's one I wish that they'd continued, because I quite liked that, and it was a bit annoying knowing that it was ending.
Yeah. But... Oh, well, yeah, maybe I'll give that a look. It's just a bummer, that they never got to do anything more of it. Anyway... let's pick this up a bit.
Let's move on to something brighter, more summery. Yeah.
Well, there's just the TV projects he's doing. Season 2 of Peacemaker is going to be called Waller, basically, and that's got a lot of the same people in it. But they're not doing like a season 2 of Peacemaker. It's going to be, they'll show up and they'll probably do more different shows, but they're all going to have different names, standalone. There's a animated show called Creature Commandos, which again is kind of related to Suicide Squad. Booster Gold, I've got no idea what that is. Lanterns, which is
it's Green Lantern Brigade, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the Green Lantern thing. Intergalactic Cops, and Paradise Lost, which is set in Ferramascaria, which is the home of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, no, I'm interested. It seems to be. He's, what I liked about it is that he's touching all the bases, but looking at them from a very different angle. It seems to have a bit of a spin on it, you know? It's not just classic vanilla superhero.
Well, it's the fact that he managed to get Guardians so prominent. It's like they were the outside ones, you know, not many people had heard of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like before that, we were like, who? And then they just turned out to be one of the best. Anyway, we'll get into that later.
Yeah, that's true. I think they've got a lot of trust in him. You know, he's earned that over the years to the point of getting fucking uncancelled. You know, what a career, you know. I think
I'm just gonna wait and see what happens. I'm not gonna speculate on anything. I'm just gonna let him get on with creating what he does, and I'm just gonna watch it because
that's pretty much how I am now about everything. But talking of not speculating, we've done our summer movie wager again. So for the uninitiated, this is, if you go to thesummermoviewager.com, they will explain the rules. But this is basically a stupid and frivolous exercise in trying to predict the US box office top 10 of the summer.
Yep.
In total gross revenue. So, I mean, obviously, yeah, you say it's the US box office. The UK box office very closely mirrors this as well. It's more or less basically what the biggest films of the summer. So yeah, we did our tallies. Currently, we're a couple of weeks in. So far, only Guardians of the Galaxy and Fast X or Fast 10 have come out yet.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, got straight out the gate, Guardians is rocking on like $266 million so far, followed by Fast X with 67, which is on a slower trajectory, which is nice, really, because I put that, where'd I put that? Seventh. So, and you didn't put it anywhere.
No, I left it off. Weirdly, I forgot it.
Yeah.
See, this I tried to be more sensible this year, because last year I literally did it all last minute. Whereas this one, I actually had the films, I looked at it beforehand,
yeah,
and then had a list put together, and then I remembered last minute, and then I had to find the list and put them all in. But yeah, Fast X didn't get on it, because I kind of thought people might have been sick of the Fast and Furious films, you know, unless it's all set in space now and they're driving around the rings of Saturn. I don't know. I don't really know, but then...
they have been on a downwards trajectory, but yeah, they're still big movies. That's the unfortunately. True. But yeah, I don't know. So what did you think would be higher than? You bet big on Transformers.
I did. I thought Transformers was the same thing that you said about Fast X. I thought Transformers would do higher because we might be sick of it, but it's a film that parents will take their kids to. Because it's Transformers, and even if the kid has no idea what's going on after 3.5 hours, it doesn't matter. So dads will take the opportunity to take their kids to go and watch Transformers because they want to go and watch Transformers, and mums will take their kids and not really know what's going on and just look at the explosions. And so I kind of feel as though it will do more that way.
They're all like turning into monkeys and things now, though, aren't they?
Which is why it's going to do more. It's all beasts now, so it's like Beast Wars cartoons and toys. And I'm just thinking, yeah, that was my thinking on it. Whereas I didn't put Fast X in because I didn't have an extra space.
No, and you reckon Spider-Man's gonna win the summer?
I reckon Spider-Man might win the summer because the first one did so well, and because it's off the back of that. And I feel as though Guardians is great, but there's definitely a Marvel fatigue, whereas Into the Spider-Verse is kind of just outside of that. So I reckon it might pip it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's just my hunch.
I certainly think it'll finish high. My biggest worry at the moment is Indiana Jones 5, because the early buzz from Cannes, where it debuted last week or at the weekend, has been pretty mixed.
So I don't know why I put that up so high, but I think it's one of those things where people are hoping it's good, and everyone goes to see it anyway, regardless of whether it's bad. And people are like, oh, it's so bad, and then they go and see it anyway, and they go, yeah, it's so bad, and then it's like, oh, so bad, but everyone's seen it.
it's currently rocking. It's just like one of those cultural things that you have to see, like. In a similar way to like Top Gun, but because it's just an old classic. But Top Gun had great reviews, and Tom Cruise, I think, is a bit more of a box office draw these days than Harrison Ford. It's rocking a 53 on Metacritic, but then Little Mermaid's rocking a 59 right now, and that won't make a fucking bit of difference to that haul. I don't know. Did you include that anywhere?
Fifth. I put it under Transformers. I put it fifth.
Yeah.
Because I thought, to be honest, I just thought all of these films are going to do pretty big. I just wasn't sure where they were going to sit.
Yeah.
So I kind of kept moving them around, and that's this the whole is where game. The tiles laid.
That's the whole game, man.
I was just like, you know, right at the last minute, okay, I'll have to just send it.
Yeah, the big, you've done Barbie as a dark horse. I did mine quite low. But I still think it's going to do some business, you know. It is a weird proposition because it's like an adult take on it.
I kind of felt like it could either do really well or it could do Flintstones movie where it was kind of okay and a bit of a flop.
It does remind me a bit of that.
That's what I was thinking in the back of my mind, which is why I just stuck it in the dark horse slot.
So Oppenheimer, I put fairly low because even though it's a massive Christopher Nolan film that I will go to cinema to see, probably IMAX, I just don't know if it's very specialist, isn't it? Yeah, I don't think the subject matter is all that like summer, really. No. I don't know if that's what people want to see.
It's all the people and their lives, and everyone's waiting for the bit where it goes bang. That is the only bit. It's going to be the big explosion, the feeling of that in IMAX, maybe 4D IMAX, where the whole cinema is shaking and every fibre of your being is just filled with the base of a nuclear blast. That is going to be, that is the build up to it. It's, and the thing is, Nolan's obsessed with time. And in this one, ironically, the entire movie is a countdown to that moment.
Pretty much, yeah. I wonder. Well, he does like to have a ticking clock going on through the whole film sometimes, like Dunkirk. I wonder. I imagine the soundtrack's going to be immense. That's always such a big part of his stuff. And I think it's going to be spectacular. But yeah, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's going to be an amazing film. But I just think it's going to be very specialist. And can you imagine, like, going, should we go to cinema? Yeah, let's go see the Nolan movie. What one's he doing now? Oh, it's a bloke that invented the atomic bomb. A World War II film? No, science. Drama and science. And then bang. It's like...
I just don't think I can, like, sit and watch that at home. I need to watch that on the biggest screen.
I get what you mean. But you're like, it's Nolan. I need to experience this.
He's my favourite man.
There's going to be some amazing bits in it. I know that, but... It's just whether I can get my ass out to the cinema to see it.
Yeah. I think. Oh, well. I don't know. Like, any other thoughts, really? Mission Impossible, well, I suppose, would be good, but somewhere
Mission
in the
Impossible
middle.
Is what Mission Impossible does. We put that in the same place.
Yeah.
I've put Blue Beetle down simply because it's another weird little obscure superhero thing. But I don't know. There's enough weird fans that might just push it, and parents might take another one where people might just take their kids to go and see it. It's lighthearted, kind of like Shazam, where it's not amazing, but it kind of does well in the cinema because it's just off key and adventure-y enough and whatever. You know, I don't know who the hell the guy is or what.
Yeah.
What superhero he is, but it's just the fact that he's a superhero one, and they kind of go, we don't know what it is, we're gonna go see it or something, or just take the kids out for the day. This is what I'm basing myself on. I mean, it's because I'm older. I'll just think, well, what would get the most amount of money because people just turn up to watch it?
No, it's a fair shout. I've got no knowledge of this at all. It's DC, isn't it? I think we'd know who it was by now if it was Marvel, because they'd have already been in one of the other films. That's weird. Yeah, taking a punt. I get it.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mayhem also looks ridiculous, but also it's got that Nickelodeon factor. And again, it's another one of those sort of things that I love being with Transformers, where you'll get some geeks, some diehard geeks, go and watch it. A lot of it will be, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I used to watch that as a kid. I'm going to take the family to go and watch that, and then it might make some money out of that if loads of people do that. Because you think it's all the ticket sales to get a family of four. Go in or something.
Oh yeah, that's what they're banking on, man.
Yeah. So that's my logic.
I included that as a dark horse. So.
I put Insidious on there because I wanted a horror movie in there, and I put Haunted Mansion as a dark horse as well because I wanted a horror movie on there.
Yeah, I've got that one too. Yeah. The only problem I think with some of those is that they come out so late in the year that they're not going to have. Same with like the Meg. I think that comes out in August. So. Mm. But it's surprising sometimes at that part time, at that end of the summer, the kids are still off. So
I forgot about that, the sequel to The Meg, isn't it?
yeah. This time directed by the guy who did, what's his name? It's quite an unusual. What's that called? The Meg 2. It's directed
More
by.
Megalodon.
It's directed by Ben Wheatley. Who did like Kill List and Sightseers and High Rise and like In the Earth, lots of really weird shit.
Yeah.
So that could be interesting.
When you said Kill List, I'm like, what?
Yeah. Mad-o. Anyway.
Is he gonna? I mean, I don't want to spoil the Kill List, but I was gonna say, they're gonna take out the Meg, and it's gonna be not what they think. It's just like
Hunchback Whale.
Yeah. God.
Yeah. All right then. So that's the Summer Movie Wager. We'll be following this, and we'll see how well we do at the end of the summer once all of the films have come out.
I'm hoping I do better than last year.
Last year
I did great for about a week, and then it just fell off a cliff.
Yeah, you just see it all sort of fall to shit. But then I thought I was doing all right, and then right at the last minute, you end up with one like cheeky little film that comes in at number 10 and then just throws the whole thing out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but anyway, that is the game. And that is it.
Thanks for listening to the Not Watching Podcast. You can email us at notwatchingpodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet at or follow us on Twitter at notwatchingpod. And if you like what you've heard here, please do leave us a review. Anyway, that's all for now. Until next time, stay safe out there.